This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Michaela Dowd, pretty impressive, right? Pretty strong.
Student athletes are stars of the show now, kids.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's not real difficult.
The dogs,
here.
It's a 1-1A deal. Really, the student athletes are.
Lumberjacks, people in Bristol. Than us.
Folks may have maybe never you in your life have watched a Georgia Tech volleyball match, and you watched that interview and went, you know what? I can root for her.
Yeah.
I can root for Georgia Tech.
No question.
That's how it works.
So great to have Michaela Dowd with us. Dan Bonner also with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Busy night. 5 games last night. Busiest night we've had, including 3 first-time and only-time regular season conference games last night. So let's get busy here. Duke and Virginia. Boy, they had a history of delivering, and last night they did it again. 65-61 the final. Jeremy Roach, bit of a homecoming. He's from Leesburg. He had 15-3 last night, season high for Roach. And I don't want to say that the Blue Devils made it look easy, but boy, they hit big shots late.
Well, Griffin was great down the stretch, and it was a grinder. And they normally play these kind of games. Crowd was sensational. The anticipation of what was at stake. You knew what was going to happen. I thought the pregame ceremonies with Coach K and Terry Holland, Ralph Sampson's there. It was a big deal last night in Charlottesville. And both teams delivered. I mean, this game could have gone any direction. It's 52-51 with 5 minutes to go. Duke made a few more plays in Virginia down the stretch. And the other thing, as opposed to the first game where Virginia won in Cameron.
Yeah.
Only 8 turnovers for Duke in this game. Mm-hmm. Virginia did a great job the first go-around, turn them over, points in the paint and so forth. Obviously, this guy, Krzyzewski, a few adjustments since that game. Tony Bennett, brilliant coach, too. It was a tremendous high-level game. These were 2 well-coached, really fun game. And at the end, Duke takes care of business, wins, and remains outright in first place in the ACC.
About a point and a half difference in the last 14 games, according to our buddy Brian Ives. Between Duke and Virginia, 65.9 to 64.4. Boy, AJ Griffin, he's going to make the all-rookie team for sure. He's going to be hard to keep off all ACC, too.
Young Keels is a problem. He goes to the basket. And, of course, this Banchero, you've, I'm sure, heard of by now. He's a player.
He's
so, I mean, hey, there's a reason Duke's ranked in the top 10. I think they're 7th in the latest AP. It was a big win for them as far as what they're going to do from a seed standpoint. Probably solidified themselves on the 2 line for now. But like I said, still in first place alone, 1 game up on Notre Dame.
You know, there's a lot of conversation in the footprint of the conference about where Duke fits as a 2. The NCAA did their little secret 16 bracket the other day where Duke was the last number 2.
By the way, I don't like that.
I know.
You know what I think they should do? Not to get off the beaten path here.
Do it every week?
No. Oh. No. Instead of giving me your sweet 16, NCAA, tell me the last 16. I think that's more interesting to the fans than, I mean, the 16 teams you listed, hey, we kind of get it. We all kind of know who's in the neighborhood. But what we don't know is what the committee's thinking about as far as what a net number, how important it is. Tell me who's on the bubble.
Give me the last 16 at large.
Yeah, give me the last 8 that are in and the last 8 that are not in. I would much rather get that information from the NCAA. You talk about wanting to have a buzz.
Yeah.
That would create a buzz. When you're sitting there with the committee and saying, hey, here are the top 4 seeds. Hey, there's a slow clap. We can all kind of guess who's in the neighborhood, but we don't know what's on the tail end. That's the more interesting part.
We are probably.
You like that idea?
Yes, I do, actually, because we all know the reason that they're showing us the 16 anyway is because they're following the lead of the college football playoff.
Right. It's
they didn't come up with the idea until the college football playoff started doing it. So, again, if you're looking for an original idea, Indianapolis is not the spot.
No, this show is. But, you know, and here's the other thing that's kind of irrelevant about. They give you that deal on Saturday.
Right.
By the time Saturday night hits, it's changed.
Correct.
They missed the – I think they missed throwing the dart at the target.
It's probably – we're probably due a visit from Joe Lunardi at some point next week just to kind of –
we're getting close to where it really matters.
Yeah, we sure are. By the way, a couple of things last night about Charlottesville. One – I thought the things, if you're going to do something, and a lot of schools have done a lot of different things in the ACC to celebrate Coach K. But I thought the thing last night prior to the ball game with Tony Bennett grabbing the microphone, his words were perfect about Mike Krzyzewski's contributions to basketball, the ACC, and more. And then the other thing I will say is this. I appreciate the fact that Tony Bennett made mention of Coach K's wife, Mickey, and their family, and the commitment they've made to Duke basketball. By the way, that looks heavy. And I don't know where that goes, but that's a big, nice plaque, isn't it?
It weighs 3 pounds. K's got to start hitting the weights a little bit. Guy's 75. Come on, you don't hand a guy 75 years old stuff like that. You just, Coach will send it to the house. Come on, you got
here, 75. Here, Nolan, do
something. Where's John Jackson? John, take this stuff and put it in the office.
John got the plaque. John had the plaque there at the seat.
K's getting ready to coach his team.
Here is Coach K, by the way, after a perfect ceremony, the University of Virginia. You mentioned this earlier. Terry Holland was there.
Klaus
Sampson was there. Just terrific, right? Yeah. Here is Coach K after the ball game about that moment prior to and what the coaching colleagues have meant.
Look, I'm not looking for a farewell tour or anything like that, but it is my last year. And if there's some ways that we can celebrate the brotherhood that's in the game, that's a good thing. Maybe, we got all this stuff going on, handshake lines and all that. Tonight was beautiful. And it showed the brotherhood in our league. And the respect that programs have for one another and that coaches have for one another. And I it meant a great deal to me. What they gave me weighs about 800 pounds. And so tonight was, to me, I'm a little bit emotional about it because that's the college game and that's the ACC I know. It's beautiful. And there's not one program that wins all the time. But there are a lot of great programs, and they should be celebrated, and the people in them should be celebrated, not just by their own fans, but by the other programs. Just a huge sign of respect.
I agree with that 1,000%. I think Coach K is spot on, man. 100% right.
I'm just going to tell you, Coach, there's nobody. Right? What you've done has been amazing. We desperately need you in this game, to stay in this game, to provide some leadership and experience in college basketball going forward. I know you're stepping away from coaching, but we need that in the game, my man.
Yep. Totally agree with that. 100%.
More from the hardwood last night. Let's go to Clemson, because that's the one that is everybody's waking up and going, huh? Yeah. Tigers have been on a bit of a downward turn here. Yeah,
six straight losses would normally do that.
Yeah.
And your two best players wearing all baseball hats.
Yeah. Well, pitching jackets, pitching coats. How about Chase Hunter out of Atlanta? 10 of 12 from the floor last night. Season high 21. I give this guy a lot of credit, too. This kid has worked hard. Back into the lineup at the start, kind of in the early third of the ACC campaign. Really kind of steadily improving. Pack, you know how that happens in this league. And last night, he was the front man for a big Tiger win, 80-69. Hunter had 21. Alamir Dawes shooting that moon ball three. 19 points for Clemson.
What is it about Clemson and Wake? Right? We saw it in football. I mean, Wake's having an out-of-sight year. The Tigers kind of struggling for their standard. They go down to Death Valley, get smoked. Here's Wake rolling in hoops. Clemson can't beat anybody. Bam, double. I mean, it's weird sometimes that certain schools will have somebody else's number like that.
Kinda goofy. Deacons are headed home. They get Louisville on Saturday. Clemson goes to Boston College right here on ACC.
He's hot. Two in a row.
Two in a row for the Eagles. Wake has lost 3 of 4 now, Mr. Packer.
Concerned. Like I said, I can't emphasize the importance of that game last night. That is a kind of game you just cannot lose when you're talking about, hey, we got a shot to the double bye. NCAA tournament, that was a big, big L.
Quick note before we take a break for the Voice of Victory and over-under. Notre Dame beat the Voice of Victory's alma mater last night, 79-69. Paul Atkinson, 20-17. He has been a clear factor in Mike Bray's team's success in the last half of the season.
Yeah, if you didn't see the game, you only see the final score here, like, well, it was a double-digit game. Nope. It really wasn't. 12 ties, 15 lead changes, a great ebb and flow of this game back and forth. And Notre Dame, when they make threes, they made 10 or more last night. Guess what? They're 12-1 when they make 10 or more threes. They're old, they're experienced, and old Blake Wesley, the young guy,
yep,
pretty dynamic player too. Mike Bray's boys in second place, one game behind Duke coming down the stretch.
It was 72-69 with 90 seconds to go. So the final...
It was a tight game.
Yeah, very tight. Lots of ties, lots of lead changes. So Irish a winner, Tigers a winner, Blue Devils a winner, Virginia Tech a winner on the road at Georgia Tech, and Boston College, as you alluded to earlier, has now won two straight. Eagles will play for three straight. They beat NC State last night, nearly wire-to-wire in Raleigh.
Yeah, BC now has as many wins in Raleigh this year in ACC games as NC State does. That would be one.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget Monday night, a history of ACC men's basketball continues. Part 7 and 8 of the tournament. 9 o'clock following, that'd be Carolina and Syracuse, wouldn't it? Yep, that's the 7 o'clock game on Monday night. Right after that, you get a full field. It'll take you from 1984 to 1997. And if you're thinking 1997, that's the year Dean Smith retired. Yes, sir. There you go. That'll set the table for you. 9 o'clock Monday night, only on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, presented by New York Life. There we go.
Let's do it.
All right.
Voice of victory.
Off to Bristol. Ladies, how many ties and lead changes last night?
12 ties, 15 lead changes.
There we go. Please welcome Josh Macri to the proceedings. Josh, good morning.
Good morning. I was going to wear my orange and blue today, but instead I'm wearing green. You can put that together.
Tough loss.
Tough loss.
I made a bet with myself, and I lost.
That's true.
We know it's been a frustrating year for you, and we're here to recognize that and yet celebrate your passion for your alma mater.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But as badly as I feel, I don't feel as badly as BPI does.
Good point.
After the three for five performance last night, but got to have a short memory and move on. So let's start our over under with this weekend's slate and how BPI will perform. Of the seven ACC games this Saturday, over under 5.5 that BPI calls. Here is the schedule.
Can I answer that? Under!
There's the list.
Under.
There's the list. Clemson is favorite at Boston College.
Under.
Under. Going under.
I don't even need to see that
picking
draft.
Four homies, three roadies.
I'm betting against BPI every day of the week. Under, under, under.
Let me see.
I'm not even looking at the schedule.
I'm going to pick six. No. I'm going to stay under. I'm staying under. One, two. Yeah, I'm going to stay under. Under.
Are we still in the air? Does the guy hit the button?
What a perfect question to start over under. Oh, all right, Josh.
BPI.
Oh, my gosh. Under. Oh, bless us.
Watch for a red dot to appear around my forehead. So, yeah, tell me to duck.
Well, if there's
a... Hey, wait a second. Who's that guy over your right shoulder wearing glasses, by the way? I'm a little concerned about him at this point.
I tell you what, if they're as who's accurate that? With the gun as they are picking games, you're the safest man in Bristol.
Who's that in the glasses over your shoulder? I'm a little concerned. Staring into... That's kind of what I'm getting at. Just checking. All right.
Moving on before I get myself into trouble. We have been talking about the all-ACC rosters quite a bit over the last couple of days, and debating who deserves to be on first team.
Right.
But if you combine first and second team when it's all said and done, over under 2.5 players from any single team to make either of the first two teams all ACC on the men's side.
Over.
2.5?
Which means three players from one school.
Yeah.
But that works, Wes.
Yeah, I'll take the over on 2.5.
I think Duke's going to have
Mark Williams,
Bankero, A.J. Griffin. That'd be my guess.
I think Bankero and A.J. Griffin are going to end up in the first two. Trevor Keels and Mark Williams may split votes.
I'm going to go over.
I think the rush is going to be, you know, over 2.5 is the trick here.
Well, that's the question.
Miami. see who we don't know who the fourth and fifth are on the first team.
What difference does it make? It's 10 players.
I understand.
Will one
that,
school have three? Is the question.
One school will get three.
That's the question. Let's cut right to the chase.
Let's go. I'll go. Well, I was trying to. I was trying to get ahead of myself.
You're trying to figure out how three Miami guys are going to be on there.
That's
right.
Ironically, Notre Dame.
That too.
Yeah, those two.
Notre Dame won't have three.
I know. They'll have Dane Goodwin and one other.
Be Blake Wesley.
Could be. And Miami, Dan Bonner brings up a great point about Charlie Moore, Cam McGusty, and Isaiah Wong. Cam McGusty's got all ACC first team numbers. But the problem is, you think about Charlie Moore, you think about Isaiah, well, this is a bigger problem. Let's go.
Starts with the team at the top, and that's Duke.
I do. I agree.
That's what I think.
So, go ahead, Josh.
I'm going to change the name of this game from Over Under to That's the Tough Part. I liked that line. That was good. from the hardwood to the diamond.
I got no shot here.
No, why not? He's picking on you now.
I know he is. That's what I'm saying. I got no shot here. Go ahead. You're good.
You're a good sport, Wes.
I am.
To baseball, Wake Forest, through four games, put up a measly 63 runs so far this season. They open a four-game series with national power New Jersey Tech.
Excuse me? The New Jersey Institute of Technology. Bonus question. Do you know the nickname?
Wait a minute. Was roast beef A&M? Were they busy?
No. New Jersey Tech, out of a former member of the Atlantic Sun.
The Sopranos.
Do you know the nickname?
Sopranos.
Josh?
I have it on good authority from my buddy Drew Brooks that they're the Highlanders. My guess would have been the not Rutgerses.
Yeah.
But that
shows you where
me.
Brooks lives, by the way, that he knows New Jersey Tech's nickname, Highlanders.
I didn't know it existed until 16 seconds ago.
Yeah, Radford University and New Jersey Tech are known as the Highlanders. Mm. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
But either way, after scoring 63 runs in their first four games, over under 40 for the Swiss against the mighty Highlanders of New Jersey Tech.
Under 40. Yeah. 40 in a three game.
I want to say 40. Under. That's the tough part.
Four games under.
Yeah, that's a big number. I mean, unless they decide to score 16 in the fifth inning like they did last week to start things off, or a 23 spot. I'm going to go under, but man, the Swiss, man, they're rolling it. Man, it seems like every sport they're rocking this year.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem that way?
Scoring. Wake Forest.
Wake's
offense.
Fun, man. The Deacs are fun.
The electric company in Winston-Salem, right?
They're fun.
Unbelievable.
So I'm going to go under.
Yeah, we're under.
This would be the time Macri talks, isn't it?
Yes, Macri talks now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, can you guys not hear me?
No, we couldn't.
Now we can.
Oh,
you know what that tells me? There's a guy
watching. Yeah, that guy over your right shoulder. That guy over your right shoulder is in charge of everything going on in this entire department. All right, go ahead.
Yikes. All right, before they silence me for good, on to women's basketball. Elizabeth Kitley and Elisa Kunane face off on Sunday.
Yeah, apparently. We've talked about it.
Two of the leading candidates for player of the year on the ladies' side. However, Ms. Kitley has struggled historically against Big Smile, averaging only 10.3 points per game in their matchups. She averages almost 18 points per game this season, over under 13.5 points for Kitley versus the Wolfpack on Sunday.
I'll go over. I'm going to go over. NC State's locked up the number one seed for the ACC tournament in the top four in terms of the national rankings. Mm-hmm. Super good team.
Yeah.
I'll go over.
13.5, huh?
Yeah, I'll go over.
All right, let's go over. I'll go over with you.
It's a good game, man. This will be a really good game.
Oh, terrific. Like I said,
there's two really terrific games this weekend.
These two right here are the real deal.
Louisville, Notre Dame, and this game right here, NC State, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I'm going to go. We'll go over.
Okay.
You got one for the house here to finish?
Sure. All right. Let's stick with the women's game. The top four teams in the women's standings have combined to lose just four games at home this season, two for NC State, surprisingly, one for Virginia Tech. The Wolfpack and the Cards are finished with their home slate, but over under 5.5 home losses for the top four teams who end up with the double bye. Here are their remaining games.
Under.
Louisville, Notre Dame. Boy, that's a tough one.
Louisville, Notre Dame, NC State, Virginia Tech are the two to...
Yeah, I'm going to go under. I don't know if there's a sweep there, but there could be one, but I don't think there'll be two.
Right. I'll go under.
Yeah. I think that's the correct answer. Or should I say correct guess?
Yeah.
It's not really an answer. It's a guess.
Yeah. Well, like Dan Bonner said about BPI, guess.
Yeah, that's not the word I would have used for
no,
BPI.
No, I know it's not. But we've got to be careful because that guy's in the same room with Macri now. He could take him out.
Yeah, but he can't take me out in the basement.
There you go. Josh, once again, wonderful job. Would you agree?
If I never see you again, it's been fun.
I'm still concerned about that guy over your right shoulder. Aren't you
hey,
the least
bit
concerned?
Before they take you away, can you take the ESPN computer back with you? Just ask him.
Yeah.
Do me a favor.
We're going to bring that to you in Greensboro so you can take that back.
It'll self-destruct.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Another successful edition of Over and Under, orchestrated by the voice of victory, Josh Macri. Well done.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
I got to get you up to speed on movies coming
out.
There's a new movie coming out. It's got your name on it.
I bet. So
it really does.
You got handshake line fatigue already?
I do. And only because for two consecutive days on radio, for 6 hours of phone calls from all over the country,
right?
People had a comment regarding what we should do with handshake lines. I'm like, when did this become a topic?
Mm-hmm.
The handshake line didn't cause the problem. People caused the problem.
That's right.
If we all agree that sportsmanship is important, mm-hmm. then shake the man's hand.
Right.
Or shake the lady's hand, whatever
Correct.
The case may be. If you're not into it, you think that's the problem, then get rid of it. But also get rid of all the PSAs that everybody jumps on about the league's about sportsmanship. And, you know, so I'm good either way.
Right.
But I don't think it's asking much for a competitor to shake somebody's hand after a competition. I don't.
You played collegiate golf. You played competitive golf as an amateur. When you lose on the last hole,
shake the guy's hand.
Shake the guy's hand,
great
right?
Great match.
Yep.
Terrific. Wish you the very best in the next round.
That's right.
It's part of growing up. It's part of understanding that you don't win every time. You know,
right.
It maybe it's an old school thing.
I don't think it is. I think it's an honorable thing.
I'll tell you this.
It's a respectful thing.
That's what I think. Now, I'll say this. I think one of the coolest moments in sports, all of sports, is the end of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Totally agree.
Where these guys beat the living you-know-what out of each other. And as soon as a guy's crowned champion, guess what? I'm going to walk and shake everybody's. I love it. And I'm not even a hockey fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it to be riveting to watch. That's what sports to me is. It's part of it. So if you want to get rid of it in this society where everybody's offended by everything, mm-hmm. the United States of the offended, then get rid of it. I'm okay. I'm still going to watch the games. But if we're going to have it, then do it.
Right. I think that the comments postscript of last Sunday in Madison have been interesting to listen to, because if you pay attention, and as you always say, if you listen, you'll learn a lot, right? The perspective you've been given by people involved in it is interesting. Well, Tom Izzo's comments, it got a lot of play. His frustration over the potential abolishment of it and it changing the line of what the character involved in the game and the respect level and the honor of the game and those kinds of things. I think those are all applicable too. I think people calling for the abolishment of the handshake have got to, come on now, it's a game. And you got to be respectful of the game and the outcome of the game. I mean, you think a guy that, you know, I mean, like Joe Burrow, he goes across the field the other night after the Super Bowl and he shakes Matthew Stafford's hand. And the right thing to
Wes,
do.
He shook hands during the Super Bowl. If you
right.
watch NFL
with
films.
With Aaron Donald and those
he's
guys.
He's going up to Aaron Donald and going, hey, Aaron, nice play. Hey, I'm Joe. And he introduced himself during
right.
the game. I'm thinking, And I said it on radio the other day. I said, here we are arguing about whether or not the handshake line is legit in college athletics.
Right.
And the biggest event in this country is the Super Bowl. And the starting quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals during the game, during the competition, is going up and introducing himself and shaking hands with the guys that are trying to decapitate him. Get in the real world. Yeah. It is okay to shake somebody's hand.
All right. And that's exactly why when I saw this online yesterday. Now, this is Mike Bray and a media availability prior to the ball game last night. So it was from Tuesday. And Irish Sports Daily posted this yesterday on their socials. This is Mike Bray talking about the emotions of the handshake.
You know, coaches, Juwan's probably looking back going, God, I wish I would have stepped back a little bit. So, you know, it's sometimes I have turned to my assistants when there's been maybe a heated game and maybe some stuff with some guys talking to each other before the handshake lineup, because I'm the lead guy. I've turned back and gone, just keep an eye on the handshake line, you know, for the players, because it's just heated and, you know, stuff happens. That's just us. And usually it was Swanigan back then. Yeah, now it's me, a big guy, like, just stay in the middle of the players, keep an eye on that, and then you shake hands and go off. Fortunately, we've not had that. But you talk about your emotions are running here, and then all of a sudden it ends. And when you end and you lose at the buzzer, and you got to turn around and shake everybody's hand composed, I give kids credit. They do a great job of it. They do a better job than the adults, probably going, okay, tough one, on to the next.
Well, I don't want to rehash what happened Sunday.
No, but I thought his perspective was interesting.
Yeah, but you know, you also have to read the room, right? Mm-hmm. There's a time and a place for the lecture, especially the winning coach to the losing coach. I mean, it was a two-way street with what went down in Madison. And you can't justify any coach in any position of authority throwing a punch. I don't care what's going on.
You cannot do
that, and that was a wrong. But I would also say that, you know, it's just like Coach was talking about, the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, this is what you do for a living, and you're getting paid to be successful. And when you have one of those gut-wrenching L's, it's got to be tough, but you're also setting an example. Your players watch it. Your fans watch it. The media watches it. Recruits watch it. You've got to conduct yourself with some dignity and class. And you've also got to be able to read the room, that the guy's hand you're about ready to shake, especially if you're the winning team. Hey, that guy's got to be sick and tired and PO'd. He doesn't need to hear a lecture about, let me tell you why I did something. So, you know, I think it's a two-way street there. But at the end of the day, if everyone ahead of time agrees, when we have our spring meetings in the ACC and the SEC and the Pac-12, if everybody agrees that sportsmanship is something we want to promote in college athletics, then shake the person's hand. Period. End of story, end of debate. If it's something that bothers everybody, then don't shake anybody's hand. I'm good either way, but I don't think it's asking that much.
I still believe, and we've come out of this pandemic where we weren't allowed to shake hands and everybody fist bumps, and that's fine too, I get it. But even the fist bump's an acknowledgement of honor and respect and appreciation of the other person when you do that. It's almost like another greeting, right? But in sports and in athletics, to Tom Izzo's point and to a degree to Mike Bray, does Juwan Howard wish he had it back? Sure he does. And we've all seen the drive-by, right? We've seen the going the other way. Sorry, Chester. But the idea of not doing it, you just can't. It's a development. It's a character. It's a respect. It's an honor. It's all the things that are about life, let alone sports, right? Doesn't go your way. Doesn't mean you're adversarial about it. May not be your favorite person, but you know what? At least you're going to be respectful about it.
It's part of growing up.
Yeah. And that's what, when the whole idea of not doing it, come on. Right?
Like I said, if everybody agrees, you know what? Let's just not put ourselves in a position where that situation in Madison can happen again and you want to get rid of it. Hey, I'm still watching games. I'm not watching a game just so we can get to the handshake line.
Correct.
As a fan. When I'm on the couch watching games, I say this all the time, I just want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when you have what took place in Madison on Sunday, and especially for the sport of college basketball, which I love and I know you do too, and for you to have your first full weekend with no football, and everybody now starting around the country is really now starting to pay attention to the college game. And you had so many great games around the league and around the country over the weekend. And all anybody wanted to talk about on Monday and Tuesday was the fiasco of adults acting like kids and just absolutely butchering it to death. And that was, like I said, for 6 hours. Yeah. 3 hours Monday, 3 hours Tuesday. All I did was take phone calls about Juwan Howard, Michigan, Wisconsin, what went wrong, who's going to be suspended, and are they going to fire somebody? And you're like, man, we've lost sight of a great college basketball weekend, but that was what people wanted to talk about. And that's a shame for the sport. Forget about the two schools, coaches, fan bases, Commissioner Warren. Yeah, that's embarrassing, but it was bad for sports. What took place? I mean, we got to be better than that.
Yeah, and you're right about college basketball and the American landscape. And we have kind of dipped in and out of that topic. But this is the time now where America as a whole, the sporting landscape of this country, looks to college basketball. It's the first full, clean look.
The sport gets the spotlight.
I mean, we talk about it a lot, but America starts to pivot to college basketball after the Super Bowl.
Exactly right. And that was the first full weekend with no football, and here we are talking about, you know, adults acting like they're 6 years old.
Frustrating. Unfortunate. But it's been interesting commentary on the sport and on the act of honor and respect and things like that that we could all use a little bit more of, too.
Well, again, I say this all the time on radio. Respect is free of charge. Mm-hmm. Use it. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be amazing. I mean, even if you disagree with somebody, you can still respect them.
Yeah.
It's not asking much.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, tonight, following women's basketball double dip here on ACC, and you know what happens, Pack, right? Nothing but net. The Hall of Fame coach, Muffet McGraw, with Kelly Gramlich, Chelsea Gray. I think Kelsey Riggs will be back from another midweek tour of the United States.
Where is she?
I think L.A. this week.
Oh, good for her.
A few days in L.A. and back to bucolic Bristol, as they say, just in time for snow. Then Saturday at 9 o'clock, same re-rack, Carlos Boozer, Luke Hancock, Joel Berry, as we get to the second last weekend to play on the men's side in the ACC. Looking forward to that. Before we get away today, we have a new addition on the Atlantic Coast Conference Network team.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
I didn't get the memo.
I know. We're here to announce it. Breaking news. Meet Ripley June Jones, 21 inches, 8 pounds, the third daughter of Roddy and Jackie Jones.
Oh, very cool.
Born yesterday. 21 inches.
Right.
And apparently already has the 5 official visits scheduled.
Ripley. I like that name.
Yeah. So Ripley, whose big sisters are JC and Adri, welcome to the ACC Network.
Which means Roddy will be watching every minute of the show because there will be no more sleep for the man for at least another year and a half. That's how that works. You're on call, big man. Congratulations, though, to the Jones, Team Jones. That's nice. Awesome.
Every
Mom's healthy. Baby's healthy.
Every minute of the show. Well, and that combines, as folks know, Roddy's wife, Jackie, played volleyball at Wake Forest. So that, there again, Swiss are winning.
Swiss have had a big year. It's been a great year for the Swiss.
Swiss keep winning.
I know last night was disappointing in the hoops department, but Wake Forest has had an amazing year.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the schedule. Tonight, women's basketball. Speaking of Wake Forest, they're in action tonight. They'll host Syracuse, 7 o'clock, Joel Coliseum. Same time as Carolina, Virginia get cranked up in Charlottesville. Top of the card, Louisville and Pitt. Jeff Walls' team out on the road. Nell Fortner and Georgia Tech on ACC Network at 6 o'clock against Florida State. Something's got to get done there now, Pack.
Jackets have been struggling. The steady improvement from Florida State. They can't feel bad about themselves. They've almost kind of played themselves out of that double bye situation the way they've gone down the pike here. So Georgia Tech's got to find their mojo. And Virginia Tech better be careful with red-hot Miami.
Yep.
Can't be worried about NC State coming up and all that good stuff. Canes are playing good hoops, too.
Katie Meyer's got the Canes locked in, right? Yep. Then – You move to the 8 o'clock hour, and Notre Dame welcomes Clemson to Purcell Pavilion. You'll see that here on ACC Network, game two of our doubleheader. And Boston College, another team. This feels like a BC trying to get in, Duke kind of hanging around the bubble, you know, those kinds of things.
Feels like a lose-or-leave-town match is what that game feels like.
Boy, you went there? Okay.
It does. I mean, as far as the tournament goes, unless you're going to do something crazy in Greensboro, which could happen.
Yeah.
But the ladies, we've said this all year in hoop season, the ladies are loaded, right? We've had six teams really consistently ranked in the AP Top 25 all season long. You've got two superstar teams in NC State and Louisville. They only met once in the regular season.
Yep.
But, of course, Courtney Banghart, North Carolina, surprised Louisville last week. So, you know, there's hope from that perspective. But a lot of pressure. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech are 12-4 in league play, and they're sitting there tied for third, right? When you look at the standings here.
There they are.
You're looking for the double bye.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about NC State and Louisville. They're locked and loaded. But that Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, North Carolina thing is fascinating. And Georgia Tech's looking back on what it could have, should have on some games that they got, let them get away from them here down the stretch here. So, again, there's still a lot to play for. And keep in mind now, this weekend, Virginia Tech, NC State, Notre Dame, Louisville. So the top four teams in the league, it's going to feel like maybe a potential semifinal round coming up this weekend.
Good scheduling there.
Yeah.
Greensboro.
No doubt about that.
Way to go, Greensboro, on the schedule. Barry McIlroy, take a bow. Just walk right out in the lobby and go, ha-ha.
Told you so.
We win. Told
you
so.
We knew what we were doing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the way the old NFL does it right there.
You start worrying about tiebreakers and all that stuff, too?
Yes, especially with this Miami Duke BC neighborhood that we just showed on.
Well, I was thinking more about North Carolina, who's sitting there at 11-5, thinking how could they get into the double bye routine? Looking at Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, North Carolina split with Virginia Tech and lost the only game against Notre Dame.
Ooh.
So it gets tricky, right? You can crystal ball it and give you a thousand different scenarios. As I will always say, just win; it'll take care of itself.
Thanks, Al.
I mean, that's the way it works. Just win.
Thanks, Al.
Because I get that question in football. Pack, if we do this, and I hear the word if in like the next 10 seconds, I just zone out.
One of your show mottos, if, is the biggest word in sports.
If is the biggest word in sports. Pack, if we would have made.
No.
Shh. Pack, if that guy didn't get hurt. I heard if. I want to hear if. Tell me what's going on.
It's not a poem by Rudyard Kipling in Pax World.
That's exactly
right. It's the biggest word in sports.
It is. It's a great race over the ladies' side for the double bye, though.
Yeah. You know what? We talked a lot about, and Kelly Graham told us about the 10-person ACC, all-ACC first team, the way they do it on the women's side. It's 10, not 5. It is positionless, just like the men is, but they group 10 for first team as opposed to 5 like the men do. Some of the Kitley Kunane Player of the Year thing is one discussion. How about Coach of the Year in the ACC? Neil Ivey? Terrific job in year two. Terrific job.
I wouldn't have to say. Or, you know,
Kenny Brooks, terrific job.
Probably one of the two, would be my guess.
But Jeff Walls, Wes Moore, don't take anything away from them. Courtney Banghart's team's 21-5.
Yeah, but we expected NC State and Louisville. Lived up to the hype and the billing before the season started. We thought they would be national championship caliber teams. We thought they would be teams that would be fighting for the ACC regular season title, and neither one have disappointed.
Yeah, Neil Ivey, though. I mean, year two, last year was a little disjointed for everybody, but especially seemingly for Notre Dame, right? And now they're 20-6, 12-4, tied for third, going into play tonight.
You can make a case.
Absolutely.
Sure. And I think the men's side, Coach of the Year, is, I told you, I think there's three guys in the hunt.
Forbes
did help himself last night. Bray did help himself last night.
Uh-huh.
Larinaga in a great spot.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
How's it going to be for Neil, by the way? Because her son's probably going to be the Big Ten Player of the Year.
I tell you what, my buddy Dave Revson from the Big Ten Network, who I love to death, he's on radio with me all the time on Fridays. I said to him the other day, how are you guys going to do first team Big Ten? Now, we were sitting there trying to figure out what we're going to do in the ACC.
Right, we got three guys you know will be on.
If you're a college basketball junkie, you come back to me with the Big Ten first teamers.
You can send that to the afternoon show.
Yeah, it's not our business, but I mean, that league's got some star power.
Jaden Ivey's terrific.
They got some serious star power.
Man.
Johnny Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of players.
They got some bigs in that league, too.
This is a fun time of year, isn't it? When you think about it.
These next 2 weeks are cool. Yeah. I like it because, you know, for folks that, you know, are football fanatics and finally start paying attention to hoops, you kind of wake up and see what you've missed after 16 weeks.
Yeah.
You've missed a lot because the season has been amazing. Great games, great storylines.
Yeah.
But these next 2 weeks with so much at stake, we're literally every night there seems to be a bubble game or two or 10. It's a good time of the year.
We got a full Friday for you tomorrow because we got a busy weekend both on the men's and the women's side in basketball. We'll do that. We'll talk about some baseball, kind of get you locked in. Pac's already got Wake under 40 against New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Charlotte North, by the way, I think scored 6 or 7 more goals yesterday. Do you know that? I mean, it's like every time, and I'm just throwing that in there because it gets lost sometimes, but there's so many sports happening.
Yeah.
We've got fencing championships going on.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah. And you know what else we got tomorrow morning? Brady Manek.
Wait a minute.
9:30.
Wait, do we push it back to 9:30 because we think he can make the time?
You're going to have to talk to Brady about that.
I am going to talk to him about that.
We'll get to the mean streets of Hera, Oklahoma tomorrow.
Joe Gilio overslept first go around. Lucky to be back.
Well, this might be a one and done for Brady. He is a grad transfer.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, he's had a great year.
Yeah, he has. And he's a fun guy to talk to. Looking forward to the visit with Brady Manek and this playing for Lon Kruger, now playing for Hubert Davis. And you and I both love Lon Kruger.
Lon's great.
Yeah. So looking forward to our visit with Brady Manek of Carolina tomorrow morning at 9:30. Full previews of the weekend, men's and women's side, all the news and notes.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.